This morning, we'd like to see the title, The Worship of the Lamb, The Worship of the Lamb. Before starting the Word of God, I want to suggest three questions for comprehension. In verse 6, seven horns and seven eyes, what does the phrase mean? In verse 6, seven horns and seven eyes, what does the praise mean? Question 2. In verse 9, what are the contents of a new song in this context? In verse 9, what are the contents of a new song? Last question. In verse 13, shall the unbelievers also bow ultimately to the Lamb? In the last question, in verse 13, shall the unbelievers also bow ultimately to the Lamb? That's the last question. The book of Revelation chapter 6 was written probably in 95 AD by John the Apostle. So John was banished in Patmos. Patmos Island, so he received the God's word through angels. So angels received the God's word from Christ. Christ received the God's word from God the Father. So that's why the word in the book of Revelation, we can see actually the word of Christ or the word of God, you know, God's word. Then, particularly in chapters 4 and 5, for the future, not in the present time, for the future, meaning after the rapture over church, or the rapture of the group of believers in heaven, it will happen in the future. So we as a raptured church are in heaven, particularly in chapter 5. So verse 5 said, and I looked, I means the John, I looked and behold, in the midst of the throne, is the seat of a king, you know, that is called a throne, in the midst of the throne, and of the four living creatures. Four living creatures talks about chapter 4, basically, Apostle John saw four living creatures. First face looks like eagle. Second looks like a human being. Third one, you know, looks like a cow. There is fourth one is a king. So those is sort of like angels, but in another. Old Testament talks about cherubim, so we can understand eagle stands for deity. The Jesus Christ is God, you know, eagle. Then the face is a human being, as stands for Jesus is a human being. Jesus is a man, because Jesus God, you know, was incarnated into flesh on the earth, you know. That's why. Third one is a cow. Cow stands for, you know, servant, because Jesus come here to serve us, not to be served by us. Servant. The last one, king. King is a lion, you know, stand for, you know, king, because a lion is the king of all animals. So Jesus is a king. That kind of Jesus Christ characteristics description. So we understood in that way. So anyway, four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, in first chapter talks of 24 elders. So many Bible scholars interpret in different way, but majority said, in the Old Testament, believers basically descendant of Jacob or Israel, 12 sons to Jacob, Israel, because Israelites have 12 tribes. So 12 bloods. Jesus Christ has in New Testament 12 disciples. So New Testament believer, the bloods and the Old Testament believer. So 24 elders is likely the representative of all believers, not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. So believers then is stood a lamb. Jesus is described as a lamb or a lion. So lamb is emphasized sacrifice. Jesus was slain for us as a sacrifice to cleanse away our sins. So right here, a lamb as though it had been slain, which meaning as if the lamb had been killed. So right here, the lamb, the slain, Isaiah chapter 53, verses 2 through 5, just said, how about Alice? Can you read that? Isaiah chapter 53, verses 2 through 5. No, Old Testament. Okay, I am reading. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comelessness, which meaning he is not really handsome, no form and comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. So we expected Jesus Christ as a very handsome, you know, very beautiful. We saw, you know, several portraits coming from Roman and emperor, you know, so many beautiful, you know, the pictures for Jesus. But the Bible said there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised. The reason, because Jesus is despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. So Jesus bore sorrows and grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. We did not expect him, esteem, lift up him. Because this one description of Jesus' death on the cross. So we know that, you know, Jesus was despised by Pontius Pilate and the Roman soldiers, Roman soldiers, the pierce their sword, you know, their knife, you know, on the belly area, also three nails, you know, something like, also crown is a thorn crown. So Jesus was bleeding for his head. You know, we know that. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Basically, our sins. You know, Jesus was wounded and bruised. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Because of Jesus' crucifixion, with blood shed, cleanse away our sins. That's why whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved or shall be redeemed. So we can have a peace based upon, you know, grace. Then is basically talks about the lamb as if it was slain, which meaning when we see the face, the wounded or marred, so obviously our heart would feel, you know, broken. Then naturally we give a thanksgiving to the Lord because Jesus was dead. for me, for you. Also, Luke chapter 24, verse 17, we see the two disciples went down on Emmanuel.
Chapter
24, verse 17. Luke chapter 24, verse 17. Two disciples went down on Emmanuel, but Jesus asked the two disciples, but the two disciples did not recognize Jesus who resurrected. So 17 said, and Jesus said to the two disciples going down on Emmanuel, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? But still, you know, although Jesus asked a question to the disciples going down on Emmanuel, they did not recognize Jesus. So also John chapter 20, verse 27, after Jesus resurrected, some disciples saw the Jesus, but Thomas didn't see Jesus. So Thomas raised the doubt of Jesus' physical bodily resurrection. Then Jesus appeared to Thomas, said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Then Thomas cried out. So Zechariah chapter 13, verse 6, also Zechariah the prophet prophesied Jesus who bared griefs and sorrows kind of thing. And one will say to him, what are these wounds between your arms? These wounds. Then he will answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. So basically Jesus was killed for friends. So we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, considered as a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Isaiah chapter 52, verse 14 says, just as many were astonished at you, so his visage or his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. So
he didn't look like a human being.
That's why we can consider somebody might get car accident. So the victim
will. His mother couldn't recognize him.
Yeah, yeah.
He came near and he said, "This is your son."
Yeah.
She couldn't recognize her own son.
Because the last Sunday after delivering this message, but the one lady talked to me, she saw, you know, in her night dream, you know, Jesus' the face was so marred, so bruised. Mm-hmm. Then moment she waked up, she cried. Then gave a dance to the Lord, and you know, something like that. Exactly like that, in John, the disciples saw Jesus, vision, the lamb, as if it was slain. So, but John chapter 17, verse 5, different appearance. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. So that face is not like a glorified face, glorified like that. So we can see the Jesus' face or Jesus' body in two ways. One is a crucified status of the body. Second is a glorified state of body. So it depends. So John chapter 15, verse 13 says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. So Jesus approved his crucifixion for that great love for his friends who are us, whoever believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So right here they say, a lamb as though it had been slain. So John the disciple, the lamb, you know, Jesus Christ, yeah, who was so marred, you know, so bruised, you know, that kind of thing, having seven horns and seven eyes. Right here, seven is a symbol of completeness or perfectness. Seven. So, you know, some secular word said, lucky seven, you know, like that. Seven is a completeness, no shortage. Completeness or perfectness. Seven days per week. So 1 week, you know, contains, you know, seven days, you know, the God created the world, you know, including seventh day, total 7 days too. So seven completes the perfectness. The horn stand for power, horn of cow, you know, very strength. Power. So seven horns is almighty or omnipotence. So basically seven horns is described for Jesus' characteristic. Because Jesus is Lord God, God is omnipotent or God is almighty. The second one is seven eyes. Eye meaning seeing. Seeing eye, you know, with the eye we can see a certain thing. So eye is seeing meaning know. So seven perfectness, so perfect knowledge, which meaning omniscience. God knows everything. So seven eyes stand for omniscience.
Amplified.
Yeah.
He says the seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God.
Yeah, right. Yeah, seven spirits, which meaning?
Sevenfold Holy Spirit.
Yeah, right. Seven meaning perfect, you know, spirit plural, but the Bible said the spirit only one. You know, one Holy Spirit. So seven spirit meaning the perfectness of a spiritual work, the Holy Spirit work. Yeah, Holy Spirit. That is the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. So basically, Jesus Christ came to earth for our redemption. So that's why Jesus was killed or was crucified and dead on the cross. So this is for everybody. So Jesus gave opportunity to save, opportunity to salvation to everybody. So hearer can accept Jesus Christ or reject Jesus Christ. If you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are saved. Otherwise, you are not saved. So then Jesus came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. So the seat of king, Jesus said, scroll meaning, you know, the book. You know, in the Old Testament, the Bible scroll looks like that. This kind of book, you know, not like today. So this is like what Henry wrote, you know, every word. So this one scroll is a certain seal, you know. So the Lord Jesus Christ take off each seal, then, you know, open the book of a scroll. You know, it doesn't mean so. Then, now when Jesus had taken the scroll or book, for living creatures, I already explained, you know, for living creatures, probably, you know, the cherubim, angels kind of thing. So the face, you know, looks like, you know, eagle, human being, cow and lion, you know, something like that. 24 elders, so 24 elders, you know, probable believers, you know, Old Testament believer and New Testament believer, all believer fell down. Fell down meaning worshiping, honoring you, you know, fell down. That's why today titled the worship of the Lamb. So we worship the Lamb. Fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are prayers of the saints. So in the Old Testament, the tabernacle is a holy place, and the most holy place inside their curtain. Just before curtain, there is a bowl for incense. So right here, the incense is the symbol of a prayer. So prayer also is offered to God. You know, like the incense also is rising up to heaven, to God.
That's why if we go to that church,
yeah,
you use the incense to send up the prayer. As a child, I used to attend
the
Greek Orthodox to my father. And I often wondered what that meant.
Yeah.
And then I found out later it's a saying of prayer to heaven.
Right, right, exactly. So that's why, you know, the Lord's Prayer, because Jesus taught to his disciples the Lord's Prayer. So we can see Lord's Prayer in the first part in worship. Our Father which art in heaven. Basically, which are hallowed be thy name, you know, which means we glorify your name. That is, we give it to him. So prayer includes two main factors. Number one, worship. Second, petition. So petition is a petition for God. For example, thou will be done on earth as it is in heaven for God. Then give us this daily, hourly, daily petition for us. Bread, and forgive us our trespasses. That is a petition, you know, to forgive our sins, forgiveness, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Those one is a petition. But the last one is also worship. Thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever. We glorify, you know, God, you know. So that's why prayer is really good prayer, or heartily broken prayer, really, you know, offered, you know, to God. That is a mature Christian's prayer. So a little immature Christian prayer, more oriented to petition for me, not for others, not for God, you know, for me, you know, that is a little, you know, immature Christian's prayer. So main thing is right here, offered. So here, full of incense, only 5 minutes, then I want to see quickly. Right here, a new song, which meaning, although the word of the songs are the same, whenever we sing song, you know, for example, this song, global song, number one, two, you know, whenever we sing number one, today, the content of a number one song is the same as the number one song which we sang yesterday, because the same number one. But in spiritual sense, whenever we sing a certain song, that's a new song, which meaning newly heart. You know, right now, our heart delivered to God and, you know, glorifying you. That kind of meaning, new song. So right here, new song is the five elements of the content. Number one is by your blood, you know, Jesus Christ, you know, have redeemed us to God by your blood. So Jesus' redemption right here, this particular new song. Number two, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings. Number two element, the Lord made us kings. Number three, Lord made us priests. Priest meaning basically the worship, you know, to God. We see, you know, in the Old Testament, the priest priest, and so he brings, you know, sacrifice animals, something like that, you know. They offer their sacrifice to God, you know, that kind of a function as a priest. So the general priest, you know, through high priest, you know, a great priest. So in New Testament, Jesus Christ played a role of a high priest. So all the believers become, you know, priests. So we can, you know, also talk with God, you know, as a role of a priest anytime. So priest, you know, basically, you know, sacrifice to God, you know, through high priest. So high priest, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why whenever we talk with God Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the reason. So we became priests. Then is the fourth element is we shall reign on the earth. Shall, future tense. Shall reign when? Because Jesus came down from heaven with all believers. So Jesus will reign with all believers together for 1,000 years. That's called Millennial Kingdom. That is basically the book of Revelation, chapter 20, that talks about that. The fifth element here, right here, the number five, Jesus was slain, who was slain. So five elements of a new song. Number one, redemption by your blood. Number two, the Lord made us kings. Number three, priests. Number four, we shall reign on the earth. The last one, the Lamb who was slain. You know, five elements are there. So right here, the last question is in verse 13, shall the unbelievers also bow ultimately to the Lamb? The answer is yes. Because right here, verse 13, and every creature, including unbeliever too, because unbelievers or human beings are also creature, not creator. Every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard the saying, blessing, honor, and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then for living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. So what does it mean? Right now, unbelievers do not accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, unbelievers, although they do not, you know, bow down before the Lord, but in certain date, in ultimate date, he is forced to bow down before the Lord Jesus Christ as a judge. So that will ultimately cast down into Gehenna, eternal death. The Bible, the book of Revelation chapter 20 talks about. Right here, there is the several, the Bible verse, you know, said, Philippians chapter 2 verse 10, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth, of those under the earth. So every creature's knee down before the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says so. Several areas too. Romans chapter 14 verse 11. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, capital M-E, Jesus Christ, and every tongue shall confess to God. So that's why, you know, the Romans chapter 10 verse 9 we shared in the last Sunday, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So if you believe the Lord Jesus Christ, who was dead on the cross with bloodshed to cleanse away our sins and rose again, shall be saved. That's why we should believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's pray together with the Lord's Prayer. We will conclude in today's Bible study. Okay. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.